Take your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter number 13 this morning. And this morning we're going to be starting a new series that touches each and every one of us in a personal way. I like practical series. When I do a series, I like to be practical and also that we learn something. And something that perhaps that we have heard much, a lot about is the armor of God. And as a Christian, how we are to put on those things. And we're going to look at that. But this morning, in a new series entitled Suit Up, we all know that we're in a spiritual battle during every moment of every day. We see many people wounded. We see people, we see some casualties, some people that are wounded in the battle. Not physically, but spiritually and emotionally, even mentally. We see many people even slain in battle, that they fall by the wayside, they fall and they give up serving God because they are injured mortally. We see also some people surrender and say, I give up. We even see some that decide to change their allegiance to that of our mortal enemy, the devil. And our Heavenly General has provided some very important equipment for us to survive and have victory in our daily battles. So we're going to learn about this equipment in subsequent messages, but this morning we're going to start with our preparation to put on the armor of God. I think sometimes we look at how to put the armor on and what the armor is. The helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. We know all of those things and we hear about them. But that we say, yes, I need to put those on every day. But we must realize that there is a preparation to suiting up, to putting that armor on. There is a preparation that must be taken and done. And we're going to take this from Romans chapter 13 this morning. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, we'll look at verses 12 through 14 this morning. If you could follow along as I read aloud this morning. I want us to pay attention to some key areas which I'll point out as we read. Romans chapter 13, verse number 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessings as bow in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today. I pray, dear Lord, that we would learn areas of our life and learn, Lord, how we're to defend ourselves against the devil. And I pray that you would show us, Lord, where we can apply these things. And Lord, that you prepare us to be soldiers, that you would prepare us to be fighters for you. And Lord, I pray that we would not fight for ourselves, but that we would fight for your glory and your honor as your soldiers and not our own. And I pray that you give me the words to say this morning, that you would hide me behind the cross. And that, dear Lord, that this preparation is essential. For Lord, if we do not go through the preparation process, then Lord, all of it is in vain. It will not be effective for thee. And Lord, your protection is not in place. I pray that this morning we would see the need to prepare ourselves to put on your armor. Dear Lord, give us wisdom, give us instruction, challenge us where we need challenging. Help us, Lord, to come to a place of decision. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In a message entitled, Preparing for Battle. Preparing for Battle. I know it's exciting when we think about the prospect of the military and soldiers. I don't know if you've ever been to the 1st Cav Museum over on Fort Hood, and you can see the progression of where 1st Cav started as a real cavalry regiment with horses and mules and then turning into a mechanized cavalry and looking at the history of it and the weapons used and the great accomplishments and the great victories at the 1st Cavalry Division all the way from the Spanish-American War all the way through to today. And we look at that and we lift those people up as heroes, as people that fought, that they were equipped and that they were trained and that they were fearless and they went and they defeated an enemy and gave freedom at an enemy of those that wanted to have rights and freedom in lands, and not only in America, but around the world, to fight against Germany and Japan and Italy during World War II, against the different powers of the Middle East, to fight against tyranny. All of these things, that yes, that's exact. And we have this idyllic view of a soldier, and you know that God calls us, every single Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're called to be a soldier. You're called to fight the battle for the Lord. But this morning, I want us to start out with something. When we look at the armor of God, sometimes you see people present it in a way, well, this is a good thing. I mean, you can live your life without it, but you can if you really want to be effective, then you better put this on. You have to understand, this armor, yes, is for us to win the battle, but this armor is simply there for us to survive as a Christian. For us to survive and to go forward. If you ever want to go forward in your Christian life and grow, you need to have the armor of God upon you. But first, we're going to look at number one, if you're taking notes, the need for armor. Do we really need it? The need for armor. There is a dearth of understanding why we need armor. There is really a lack of understanding today. The Bible describes those who live in this world as a rather unflattering creature. You look at Isaiah 53. Let's look over there. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6. We see that every Christian person, we are described as sheep. All through the Bible, we see the description as God's children, those who have been saved as sheep. And right here in Isaiah 53 and verse number 6, we see that all of us are in need of salvation. All of us are in need of Jesus Christ. Why? Because all we like sheep, as it says here in Isaiah 53, verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. All through the Bible, we are described as sheep. This is a term of endearment, but also a real description of our capabilities. This is a description of the capabilities that we have. You know, we sometimes can get a little puffed up, think of ourselves more high than we ought to think. As if, yes, some people need that armor, but you know what? I can take care of the devil myself. I can go and I can fight. I'll be okay. I'm spiritual. I read my Bible. I pray. Hey, I'm okay. I'm strong enough. I have a strong mind. I have a will. I have a strong will to serve God, but I can do it on my own. Well, you know what? God gives us that description. As sheep. As you know what sheep are? Sheep, like I said, is rather unflattering. So what are sheep best known for? Well, the thing that sheep are best known for is for being defenseless. They can't defend themselves. If you've ever seen a sheep, if you've ever seen a sheep maybe at a fair or something, you've seen them out there, I mean, they can run, but if they have a lot of wool on them and they're a little fat, they can't run real well. Actually, sheep, they can be tipped over, and when they're placed on their back, a lot of sheep cannot, not all, I was saying corrected here, but most sheep and some of them, they can't get back up, and they will literally starve or die of dehydration because they can't, unless they're tipped back over by a shepherd, they will die. That's a pretty defenseless animal. That's a pretty defenseless creature. You see that wolves and coyotes and wild dogs, they'll go into a sheepfold, they'll go into a herd of sheep, and they'll kill whichever one they want. They are an easy meal. And that's something for us to understand. In our own strength, we are defenseless against the devil. We are defenseless. The second thing that sheep are known for is that sheep are known for being easily deceived. They're being known for being easily deceived. They can be deceived by things. They can be frightened by different things. They also can be trusting and be easily deceived. We have to understand that we don't have all wisdom, but God does. And Jesus Christ has all wisdom. And we do not have all the wisdom that we need to have. And if we think, well, I can take care of it on my own. I can pick out every single deception of the devil. I can see all the traps. I can see all of it. We are in for a rude awakening one day. That we need all of these pieces of armor to be effective for God and to survive this Christian life. Also, another thing sheep are known for, as we just read, they're prone to wander. If they're not watched or penned in, or they don't have a sheepdog to keep an eye or a shepherd, that they'll just wander off. Hey, let's check this out over here. They're curious creatures, and they'll get themselves out on a cliff or out on a ledge where they can't get themselves back, and they'll get themselves stuck. How many times, just be honest with yourself, you don't need to raise your hand, how many times have you got yourself on a ledge and you got yourself stuck? Because you wandered away from the Bible. Because you wandered away from the commands of God. Because you wandered away from the protection of God. When you wander out of God's will, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to find yourself in a ledge in the cliff. You're going to find yourself in a place you cannot get yourself out of. Now, this is what sheep are known for. But according to 1 Peter 5:8, what is the devil? What is he known for? He is described as a ravenous, roaring lion that walks about looking for the next meal. Now, we have over in this corner over here. So now this is fight night, okay? So this is us versus the devil. So in this corner, we have the Baba sheep over here, okay? And then in this corner over here, we have the devil, the roaring lion of the universe. And on three, when the bell rings, in one round, we're going to see who wins. He said, Pastor, this is ridiculous. It absolutely is. Because you know who's going to win. Who's going to win? The lion's going to win. But we're the sheep. The devil is the lion. We overrate our abilities and we downgrade the devil's abilities. You know what I'm saying? Do we have to be fearful of the devil? No, because greater is he that is in you, the Holy Spirit of God, than he that is in the world. That's the devil. Through the Holy Spirit and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have power over the devil because he, Jesus Christ, has all authority and all powers given unto him. That's why he said that. That it was by the power of God that we're able to defeat the devil. But if we go out and say, I can do it, we're going to get devoured up. You know, if the fight, that sheep had enough sense, what do? He'd run to a place, right? But if that sheep says, I can take on this lion, and I can take on the ferocious teeth and the claws and jaws that can break a man's arm in a second and just rip a person to shreds, you know what? They go to fight. That lion is going to take that sheep out in about half a second. Boom, it's over with. So do we see the need for the armor of God? I hope we do. Through the reality of our shortcomings and vulnerabilities and the description of the powers that the devil and his demons possess, we should clearly see the need. Too many Christians fail to see the need for God's armor to be able to stand against the devil. This is another description that is given in the Bible, that of a soldier. Now let me ask you a few questions. Do sheep defend themselves? Nope. Do sheep fight back? Now they'll try and bite you a little bit, but they can't even really do that. Do sheep win a battle with a lion? No. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12. How then do we expect to win the battle against the evil we find in this world? And all that is in the world, the lust of flesh and the lust of the eyes of the world, is not of the Father. And the father of this, the evil in this world, is the devil. He is a murderer. He is a liar. All of these things. And we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Because of all of this, and we saw this in Romans as well, that the night is far spent. We live in a dark day. We live in a dark time. And the only way we're going to have some victory, the only way we're going to be able to survive, is we put on the armor that Christ has provided for us. Ephesians 6, 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a physical fight. It is not a fight of strength. It is not a fight who has the bigger gun, who has the bigger bomb, or the bigger missile. It is a fight against unseen enemies, the worst kind. The worst kind of enemy that you can have is one you can't see. That is why the United States of America has invested so much in stealth technology and aircraft. In that the worst enemy that a foe can have is one he can't see and one he cannot defend against. Guess what? We can't see the devil. We can't see his demons. We can't see what goes on in the background. And so we do not have an understanding, even one iota, of what goes on. God gives us a few hints and gives us a glimpse, but we don't understand what we're facing. And you know what? If we don't understand it, how can we defend against it? That is why we have the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Scriptures. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what we face. We need the armor of God, which is a spiritual armor. So, but before we can put the armor on, every good soldier needs to go to boot camp. Every good soldier needs to go there and needs to have some things removed out of his life. So number two, this morning, if you're taking notes, we need to go to boot camp. There are some goals that God has in his boot camp for his soldiers. The purpose of God's boot camp is twofold. Number one, remove that which is harmful. Remove those habits and those things of life that'll get a soldier killed. You know what? If you're in the army and you go to boot camp, you better obey the order right away. Why? Your life might someday depend on it. That you're supposed to have certain disciplines. You're not to be lazy. You're to work together. Lots of different attributes that they want you to see, because if you don't have them, they'll get you killed one day. Then second, remove that which is not needful. Things that'll slow you down. Things that will cause you to be slow in battle. That'll also get you killed. So first, let's look at removing that which is harmful. What are some things? Now let's look back at Romans chapter number 13. Romans 13. Begin verse number 12. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So over and over again, if you look in Ephesians, you look in Corinthians, you look in Romans, we see the same thought repeated over and over again. That when we're saved, we are a new creature in Christ. That when we get saved, we have a new man. We have a new nature. But in order to take that new nature, we have to make a decision every single day. We're saved, and we have available to us two different natures. We have the nature of the flesh, which is our natural nature. That's how we naturally are. That's where lying, stealing, fornication, immorality, any type of evil that is in this world comes from the heart of man. That is man's natural state, and that is the old man. But when we get saved, we're made a new creature. We have a new nature. If we submit ourselves to God and walk in the truth of the Bible and submit ourselves to God and walk in the Spirit, we have this new nature. That's why when you get saved, you don't do the same things you used to do. Amen? You know, there's a little rhyme that goes through that as a good Christian, that you don't drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those that do. Okay, the little thing that rhymes there. And we can add a lot of other things to that. But you know what? As a Christian, you don't want those things anymore. You don't want that fellowship anymore. Why? Because those things are sin. Those are the works of darkness. And those are things when you get saved that you should cast off. At least we should. They want to. I don't want that. I want to be a child of God, which is to be a child of light. In order for you to put that armor of light, you've got to put off some things. You've got to make sure that sin's out of your life. The ultimate goal of this boot camp is to see us become more like Christ. Look at Romans 8, chapter 8, verse number 29. That's the goal of this boot camp. Call it sanctification. And that our ultimate goal, God's goal for us, is for us to be conformed into the image of Christ, to be more like Christ. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, don't be afraid of this word predestinate. You know what it means? It means that it has a predetermined destination. What does it mean? That doesn't mean that God chose certain people for heaven, certain people for hell. What it means is that those that choose to get saved, their destination, this is the goal that God has for them, to be like Christ. That's what the goal is. Not to be like Allah, not to be like Muhammad, not to be like Buddha, not to be like any of the other millions of Hindu gods, but to be conformed to the image of the one true God, the one true Savior, Jesus the Christ. That is God's goal for us. That is the end result. In order to do that, we need to go through a drastic transformation process. The first part of this process is the miracle of God at salvation. We who are dead in our trespasses and sin are made alive again through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are on our way to hell because of our sin. Jesus, the master of all the universe, our general, our commanding general, died, shed his blood, and paid for our sin so that we might live. To make us free from the slavery of sin. Romans 6:23, 4, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we have an opportunity to come before God to realize the darkness, to realize the wickedness of our sin, to realize the end result of our sin, which is death and hell for all of eternity, and to realize that Jesus paid that penalty. He died. He shed His blood so that we might live, and that if we come to Him repenting of sin, realizing what our direction is going, realizing where our sin is taking us, and coming to Christ, and taking Christ as our Savior, not just believing that He's Jesus, but trusting in Him, that He is the only way to heaven. There's no other way I can be saved. There's no other way for me to be free from sin, but to ask Jesus Christ forgiveness for my sin and trust Him as my one and only Savior forever. That is how we get saved. And if you've done that today, then you're in the army of the Lord. If you have not, you can have take an opportunity today at the end of the service. We'll take a Bible and show you and tell you exactly what I told you, show you the verses, and you can accept Christ today. That's the first step of boot camp, is to get saved. The second part of this process comes is the work of man. A decision must be made. Man must make a decision which side he is on. Look at Joshua 24, verse number 15. Joshua was also a military man. He was a leader of the children of Israel. Also, he was, before that, he was the head general of the Israeli military under Moses. And he put a very pertinent question before they were to go in to the land. Actually, it's after they were in the land. He asked them a question. Who are you going to serve? You know, the famous quote, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he asked them a question. Who are you going to serve? What side are you on? Which side are you on? Guess what? If you're going into the United States military, you know what the Army is going to ask you? Which side are you on? What's your nationality? And who are you loyal to? Now, you can't serve in, I don't believe you can still serve in the United States military unless you revoke any other citizenship in any other country in the world. And say, oh, if you have dual citizenship, you have to renounce the one. You renounce, if you're maybe a dual citizen of Great Britain or Australia, you have to renounce the one and be solely a citizen. I don't know if that's still the case. It used to be that you can't join our military unless you're loyal to only one country, and that's the United States of America. If you're loyal to Russia, you're in the wrong military. Amen? A lot of politicians that are, anyway. They're not really loyal to anybody. They're just loyal to this. Look at Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, which is in Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As you need to choose. It's not up to me to choose for you. You need to choose which side you're on. So, well, I'm on the Lord's side. That's where we sing that side. You know, we are on the Lord's side. We'll stand against the foe. All of these, many of these hymns are based on Scripture in that we must become to a place of decision. If we're to be as well, I'm on the Lord's side, then we must discard anything that is dishonoring to our general. Look at Romans 12. Let's back over there. We need to put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, not sinful. Put all those things away. We shouldn't be doing that as a Christian. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, why is it important not to give place to the flesh? Because if you have the flesh, you're giving a place for the enemy, the devil, to get in. You're giving a place for him to get your ear, to get a hold of you, and that you're going to do. And what do we learn? That if you submit yourself to the lust, you're going to obey it. You're going to do it. And just like being a double agent, just like that, or maybe being a soldier that is disloyal. I mean, famous, famous cases of people that, I believe this one guy back in the 80s or 70s or 80s, he worked for the CIA. And the Russian government paid him millions of dollars to give them all kinds of secret information about the United States of America. Right? And they found his most vulnerable spot. Money. He was greedy. And so this man had made a provision for the flesh. For money. And so he had made a provision, and so he was open to, loyal to whoever could provide the most money. And it didn't matter if it was the United States of America, he was disgruntled that he didn't get a promotion at his job, that he didn't get a raise. And the Russian government came along and said, hey, with wine, women, and money, and said, hey, look at all what you can have if you just give us some money and betray your country. As a pastor, Christians don't do that. Oh, really? Oh, yes, anybody is available for this temptation. In that the devil says, hey, you could have it better. You could have a nicer this, a nicer that. You could have it easier. Look at what I can provide for you. Look at what I can do for you. You know what? You don't have to get married to enjoy marital relations. You can just go outside of marriage over here. And it's fun. And you can have as many girls or men as you want. But guess what? It doesn't end up that way, does it? It's disloyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sin. Oh, yes, we can. You know, you're doing this over here. You have this very regimented life. Why don't you try drinking a little bit or smoking a little bit or do a little bit of this? It talks about drunkenness and wantonness. How about you covet over here and have your lust over here? Hey, you'll be fine. It'll be okay. You can still be a soldier. Guess what? There are certain things that will disqualify you to be a soldier in our military. There are certain things. Number one, if you think you're disloyal, you're not in the military anymore. If they can't trust your loyalty, if they can't trust that you're going to carry it out, that when you're on the side here and you have the enemy on the other side, that you're going to do your job, guess what? They dismiss you. They kick you out. If they think you can't do your job, either you're unable or unwilling to do your job, they say, well, we're going to have to release you. We're not going to be able to use you. And you know what? There are some Christians that are either unwilling or unable due to compromise in their life. They're unable to serve the King of Kings and God sets them aside. Paul called it being a castaway. That was the biggest thing that he feared. The Apostle Paul, you look at him, he didn't fear anything. He said, my biggest fear is that I will become a castaway, that I'll be a hypocrite, that I'll turn back on everything that I've ever preached to anybody. That is my biggest fear. He said, I keep under my body. I keep it under control. I said, because I don't want to be one of those used to be people. We have too many used to be Christians. We have too many used to be soldiers. We have too many used to be this and used to be that. Used to be serving God. Used to be going into ministry. Used to be living God. Used to be faithful to church. Used to be soul winning. Used to read their Bible. Used to pray. Used to do so many other things. Guess what? We're tired of hearing it. We hear it too much. Used to be, used to be, used to be. How about we see some people that are? That are going forward. That are faithful to their Bible. That are faithful in prayer. That are faithful to church. That are faithful to the Lord God Almighty and will die serving Him. That's the kind of people and Christians we need. And this is how you get there. Putting away those things, you know what? We can't put on the armor of God and leave any provision for the flesh. You know why? God says, you're not ready. I'm not going to do it. If you leave any provision for the flesh, no matter how small, it will not work. It's just a little sin. Guess what? When you're under pressure, you'll break. Today we have the technology to go with submarines and deep submersibles to go down to thousands of feet, to go down to the bottom of the Mariana Trench, which is almost, I think, 5 miles down or 3 miles down, something like that. Under complete on mind-bending amounts of pressure. And how big of a hole do you think it takes to make that entire craft implode? A hole or a speck smaller than you can see with your eye. It will cause that to completely implode and disintegrate if there's any even a crack or a hole smaller than your eye can see. And that's exactly what happens. That Christians, they're okay when they're in the shallow water, but they get under the pressure. They get under the pressure the devil puts on them. They get under the pressure of service, and they get to that depth, and then they completely explode. Why? Because they made an itty-bitty little provision for the flesh. They left a little handle. They left something for the devil to blackmail them with. And the devil comes calling to collect. When you give a provision for the flesh and he gets into your life, he says, you're free. Guess what? At the most important moments in your life, the devil comes a calling to collect. And says, you're loyal to me. We don't need soldiers like that. And you don't have to be a soldier like that. You can put that out of your life. That's what boot camp's for, to get those things out. Any desire of the flesh, any sin of the flesh, any thought of the flesh, they all must be forsaken. You need to close the door on those things and never look back. You know, if you're honest with you, if you're really honest about what they are, you shouldn't want them anyway because they're dirty and vile and they don't do anything good for you. And you know it! Turn your back on them. Then we must discard anything that will slow him down. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Do you know that as a soldier, speed can save your life? Speed can save your life. Yes, you can have armor on, but also we, with that armor, there are certain things that we can't be carrying around. You know, some people, they carry around all kinds of things. If you've ever looked at a racer, the racing people they have today, by the way, the people that race, they don't put enough clothes on, definitely not for sure of that, because they want to save weight. They don't put enough clothes on. But anyway, but if you ever felt like a professional running shoe, ever held one of those? I've held one of those. I mean, you can barely feel it in your hand. It's so light. You know why? Because they want to get as much speed and shave that 1/10th or 1/100th of a second. Because many times, a lot of those races, that's what is judged by. They're won by 1/10th of a second or 1/100th of a second. So they want to make sure they're not carrying any extra weight at all. Now, maybe you remember watching some of those good old World War II black and white movies. You know, ones from like the 40s and 30s, you know. And there's always the scene, not always, but over and over again, is that, you know, they're in Germany, they're in France somewhere, and there's this machine gun emplacement, and it just took out half the squad. And then there's this guy who is the champion track runner, right? You know where I'm going? And you know what he does? He says, Sarge, I can do it. I can make it. Right? You know, this old pastor, I know exactly what he's talking about. As a sarge, I can make it. I can take a grenade. I can take that machine gun nest out. And you know what? He stands up and he runs out there with everything on. No, what does he do? He takes his helmet off. He takes his ammo belt off. He sets his gun down. He takes his backpack off. I mean, he gets ready to go and he takes that grenade. And so he can run fast and dodge those bullets and hurl that thing and take out the enemy. That's what we're talking about here. Laying away to everything that is not needed. To be honest with you, we carry a lot of things that we don't need. We carry a lot of things. Go to your house. How many things are in there that you don't need? Hey, we're moving this week. And when you have to move it and put it in a box, you realize, I don't need this. Right? I asked my wife, honey, save my back here. Do we need this? No. You know, and putting things in a storage unit, and you realize, hey, things aren't going to fit if I keep all of this stuff. You know what? We had that yarn sale, and we put all of our stuff out there. People said, whose stuff is this? Well, that's mostly our stuff. I'm like, wow. I looked at it. I was like, man, we got a lot of stuff that we don't even use. You know, we got a lot. I said, man, we could have made a lot of money a long time ago. I said, well, that's where all my money went. You know, I don't know if you saw during service here, you saw a real-life holdup up here. No, my wife was asking me for the church card to go buy something. She needed it. But I was like, yeah, you all saw a holdup in process. If you get married, guys, what's going to happen? You're going to get a holdup every once in a while. But right there. But, you know, so we do all of that. I mean, go home. Go to the shed. I mean, go to the church shed. Don't go to the church shed, please. No, but you go there. You'll see a lot of stuff that we don't need. We go through. That shed gets cleaned out every other year, but somehow it gets filled up again. I don't know how it happens. And it just gets filled up. And you know what? Our lives get filled up with stuff that we don't need. In order to be the most effective soldier for God, there's a lot of things that we don't need. And you know, one of the biggest things that get people down in America is that we need stuff. We need things. We need this. We need this TV. We need the latest this, the latest that. We need this. We need that. No, you don't. You want it. There's a difference. You know what? This is going to shatter your world right here. This is going to be it. The end of some of you. You do not need a television set. Pastor, you're an extremist. You're a cult leader. That's just it. No. We want. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having one. I'm not saying that. I have one. I don't watch TV on it, but I'm just saying we don't need one. We can have it because we want to do things with it, but we don't need it to survive. Right? I think a lot of us do a lot better if we just threw it in the trash. Better yet, sell it and pay off whatever with it. You know, we can do that. You know, the much money they charge for some of these things some days. I remember when the Ultra 4K now? Or the Ultra HD. I'll never forget. They had the big flat panel when it first came out. I was in Best Buy. It was a 60 inch. This is probably 10 years ago or more. And it was $10,000. And there was three people standing there looking ready to buy one. Who in their right mind? You can buy a nice car for $10,000, man. I mean, you can buy a nice car for $5,000. Amen? A lot of things we spend money on, a lot of things we don't need it, we want it. A lot of things we spend our time on that we don't need, but we want it. Anything wrong with Facebook? Well, there's a lot of things I could say, but the biggest thing it's guilty of, and everybody says it, is social media in general is wasting time. It's a useful tool if you want to use it that way, but also it can be a distraction and waste our time. Sit there and you're more concerned about what's going on in everybody else's life and being a snoop than concerned about what's going on in your own family and your own home. Amen. Yeah, we don't say amen because we're guilty. Pastor, you're meddling. I know. I'm meddling. Pastor, you're getting in my personal space. Yeah. Because this is where we all are. I'm getting in my personal space too. That's why, is there anything necessarily wrong with video games? Not certain kinds. Certain kinds, yes. Is there anything wrong with doing different things? No. But are they taking away your time to where you can't serve God? Amen. There's a lot of things that we can be distracted with. There's a lot of things. Speed can save your life. Lagging behind the rest in a quick march. If you're running, you know, what do we always see? Like, once again, going to those black and white World War II movies. Who are the people that get shot first? The ones that are huffing and puffing in the back, they get shot first. Well, you're lagging behind. The enemy loves to attack and pick off the slow and weak. Look at those slow and weak sheep. Loves to take those out first. Why? Because it's easier. Don't be an easy target. When we complete this phase of the boot camp, then we are another step closer to putting on this miraculous armor. But then something I want to point out to you, number three, is we need to learn to follow orders. Follow orders. Last point this morning, something that I found interesting when I was studying for this in Ephesians chapter 6 and Romans chapter 13. Don't need to turn there, but I want to explain something to you. I encourage you to go back and read this. And in Romans chapter 13 and Ephesians chapter number 6, mostly what we know Romans chapter 13 for is God's pattern for authority. Beginning in verse number 1, talking about God's pattern for authority, how we're to submit ourselves to the higher powers, and gives us the outline of authority. Ephesians chapter 6 begins out, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents. Begins with authority. Goes down through chapter number 6. You see authority lined out. The responsibility to obey authority. Also the responsibility for authorities to treat people right. So going down, both chapters deal with it. And right after, it deals with putting on the armor of God. And think about it. To be a good soldier, you need to learn to what? Obey orders. Do what you're told. And do exactly what you're told. And you know what? I said, well, you know what? There's a lot said. Well, there's sometimes need to disobey orders, sometimes yes, but we're talking about our Heavenly Father. We don't ever need to disobey His because He always gives perfect ones. He doesn't give any ones that are unreasonable. So people say, well, God just expects so much. I don't know if I can do that. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3. Some people say, well, just God's expecting too much. God's expecting too much out of me. It's too hard to do this. I don't want to do this. 1 John 5, 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Meaning, they're not unreasonable. They're not bad. They're not unfair. They are perfectly fair. They are perfectly just. They are perfectly holy. And we are to keep them as good soldiers. The only problem is with you. The only problem is, well, we aren't going to have, if you're going to give your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to lose some things in the process. You're going to lose some money. You're going to lose some position. You're going to lose some praise. You're going to lose a lot of things. But guess what? Nothing compares that when you get to heaven and you bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and He says to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you know what? As a pastor, you think you're going to hear that? I hope to, but I'm not as faithful as I need to be. I think a lot of us aren't as faithful as we need to be. But I think that should be our goal. That by the grace of God, that He'll say that to us. But we need to learn to obey orders. The topic of authority is that is fitting with the responsibility of a soldier. We're to obey every command and instruction because we are under the authority of God Almighty. We understand something. That we are not in this life to serve ourselves, but to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There needs to be a revival of respect for authority in our churches. We see so much disrespect for the authority of parents. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, turn over there. We see so much, even in churches, we see so much for the disrespect for the authority of mom and dad. You know what? That's something that my parents taught me. You need to respect your parents and respect authority. My parents loved me, never doubted that for a second. My parents were hard on me on some things. And one of the things was disrespect. We had a zero tolerance policy for disrespect in our house. Zero disrespect. Half of the things that I have heard kids in this church tell their fathers in front of me, I would have been kicked in the next week for doing that. I can't believe it. Boggles my mind how much we have brought down mom and especially dad. Dad, don't tolerate it. Don't encourage it. Your children are to respect you as their father. Amen? And don't go down to their level to be their buddy. You are not there to be their buddy. You're there to be their father. Not to be some play putty. Because guess what? When it comes down to it, when you tell them to do something, they won't listen to you. Oh, you're my friend. Need to have the respect. Respect and honor your parents. By the way, young men, you better respect your mothers. Amen. This young men struggle with this. I struggle with this. Young ladies, you better respect your mother as well. Respect and honor your parents. Verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey them first, second, honor them. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first command with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know what? I think it's important when God dedicates 3 verses to it. Right there, over and over again, repeated, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, the Psalms, Jeremiah, all the way through, Ephesians, and other places in the New Testament, repeated over and over and over again. Guess what? We need some revival of respect for our parents. Amen. Your parents aren't perfect. Guess what? Don't you dare tell about the mistakes they make to other people. My parents made a lot of mistakes. You'll never hear me say one word about any of it. Amen. Anybody tell me, well, your parents did this and that. You know what? I tell them, you're going to get a knuckle sandwich. Talking about my parents that way. I was young. Okay, as a pastor, you're saying fight. I'm not saying that, but guess what? I was ready to defend my parents. And guess what? As a teenager, that's the only way you know how most of the time. As do that. Had one guy get in my face and say some terrible, terrible things about my father. And I was very calm. He got about this close to my face. I was 16 years old. He was 19. I looked him square in the eye. I said, you step back and you take back what you said about my father or I'm going to clean your clock. I scared him. Because he was expecting me to cower back. I wasn't scared of him. And he made me, I was angry. Okay? It was righteous indignation, okay? But I was upset that he said about my father. And I said, step back. He stepped back. He said, well, oh, I'm sorry. I said, you shouldn't use your mouth like that. You need to respect my father and respect yours. And guess what? He never said anything bad about my dad again. You know what? Because I'm loyal to my parents. I'm not going to say anything bad about my parents. And you know what? How about we have some respect for our Heavenly Father and some loyalty? Well, here's a dirty, rotten, vile person. Take our Lord's name in vain. How about we say something about it? How about we say, talk dirty about Jesus our Lord? And how about we say something about it? Amen? Oh, that's not socially acceptable, Pastor. Who cares? We need to have some loyalty to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We also see so much disrespect for authority, for our law enforcement. Pastor, you don't know what they do. I understand there's some people who have done some bad things. They're human beings. Doesn't mean we get to disrespect the whole system because some people made some mistakes. Read Romans 13. You'll see that I'm right. Romans 13 is a description of the police officer and those that are in authority to protect us. You don't need to fear it if you're doing what's right. Amen. Also, you don't need to fear the Lord. You have to have respect for the Lord, but if you don't need to fear Him if you're doing what's right. Amen. If you know what's right, He's going to bless and protect. We have sweet fellowship. But guess what? We better fear if we're doing something wrong. If we're sinning against God, we better have some fear because God has real consequences. You know what? As parents, the worst thing that you can do for your children is to not give them any real consequences for their sin because they're going to grow up and think there's no real consequences for anything. And they're not real consequences from God. Mom and Dad, if your kids won't obey you, you can forget about them obeying God when they get older. If they won't obey you, they won't obey God either. They don't obey anybody but themselves. We also see so much disrespect for the men of God. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2. We see that with Elisha, in that there were those that had such disrespect and disdain for the man of God. They mocked the man of God. They said, well, he's just bald and he's fat and whatever. 2 Kings chapter 2. Verse 23. He went up from Thens unto Bethel. Now this is right after Elijah is translated. Okay? This is right after he crossed over the brook. This is the beginning of his ministry here with Elisha. And he went up from Thens unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head, or making fun of him. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. He's not talking about swearing here, but he pronounced a curse upon them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tarred 40 and two children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. As it would happen, that two bears came out of God, sent them out of the woods, and took care of those disrespectful children. Don't you think it's not a bad thing? What's going to happen, Pastor? I don't know. There are two she-bears going to come out. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, God's not going to bless your life if you're disrespecting the man of God, an evangelist, a missionary, a preacher, anyone. If you're making fun of him, well, I make fun of his measure. I make fun of this. I make fun of the Bible. You're in a very dangerous place. Here's something that we must realize. We're always going to be under authority, no matter how old or young we are, we're always going to be under authority. You'll be devoured by the devil if you continue to buck authority and be rebellious against authority. If you will not listen to your parents, then you're never going to listen to God. If you don't listen to the authorities in your life, then you're going to be devoured. You're taking yourself out of the protection and the will of God when you do that. And so what do we need to do? We need to determine that we're going to obey orders. We're going to obey the orders of our Heavenly Father and the people that He has placed in our life as our authorities. If we do that, then we have prepared ourselves. We've gotten the sin out. We've submitted ourselves. We're ready to serve. We're ready to go. And then we can begin putting that armor on. So are you ready to put the armor on? Are you ready to suit up? Are you ready? Are you prepared for the battle? if there's some things that maybe got touched on today that your Lord has spoken to your heart. Maybe there's some things, some weights you need to lay aside. Maybe there's some unfruitful works of darkness that you need to reprove and get out of your life. Maybe there you need to get saved this morning. Maybe there's some obedience problems in your heart and your life towards God and toward authorities in your life. And you can get them all right at the altar today. And then you're ready to take on, to suit up. And then you'll be prepared for battle. Will you do that today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. I pray that you'll bless us as we come to this invitation time. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray that this morning we would see the need for this armor. Your armor. The armor of light. The armor of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, dear Lord, that this morning we would be faithful, that we would desire it, that we would see the need for it, and that we would prepare ourselves in the proper way according to your word that we've heard this morning. I pray that we would respond to it, Lord, and I pray that you would draw your people to yourself. Lord, I also pray for those that are not saved, that they would not put off another moment the opportunity to be saved. I pray, dear Lord, that you would bring them to yourself as well. I pray, dear Lord, that you would work among us. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed as we rise to our feet this morning, perhaps there's one here today that said, Pastor, I know that I'm not saved. I know that I'm not in the family of God. I know that I need to be saved. I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not sure if something happened to me right now that I would go to heaven. I am not sure about that. If you're not sure about that today, and would like to talk to somebody about that. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If that's you, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you raise your hand and say, that's me? I said, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me. Anybody like that at all? Please pray for me. Anybody at all this morning, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure about that to anybody at all. Perhaps you're a Christian here today. Because I want to get in the fight. I want to battle for the Lord. I want to be prepared for the battle. I want to take on that armor. And I'm committed to it. I'm committed to being that soldier for the Lord. The Lord has brought some things back to my mind, some decisions I've made, or maybe I need to make a decision today. And who say with an uplifted hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm going to be in the battle for the Lord. I'm going to be that one that's going to fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to put on that armor. That's going to be me. Just slip your hand up wherever you are as a testimony. Amen. Praise God. That's me. That's what I want to be. I know I need to put off some things. By the Lord's grace, let Him do that in my life. Anybody else? Amen. Many hands this morning. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. I encourage you, if you raise your hand today, to make a decision. Make your way down to the altar and cement that decision with the Lord. To cement that decision. Either to maybe put away some things or just to dedicate yourself to the Lord's service once again, to be in that battle, to be the soldier that you need to be by the grace of God. Whatever the decision might be, the altars are open.